ardent hope that Rabbi Miller would be back next year. I only hope that all of Rabbi Chalup's tefillot are fulfilled in the same fashion as that hope, because here I am, and I'm pleased to see all of you. I trust that there will be more during the course of my few words, and that they will all be able to hear our guest lecturer, who is so well known to all of us. On behalf of Dr. Lamb, on behalf of my fellow administrators, Rashi Yeshiva, as well as personally, I want to begin by wishing everyone Gemar Chatzima Tova, Shnat Chaim V'Shalom, a year of blessing and fulfillment. I again extend our thanks to Mrs. Judy Hausman, who sits here in front of me. I was telling her how much I enjoyed seeing the exhibition of the art, which she is an accomplished artist and was on exhibition at the lobby of the Cardozo School of Law. And I thought of the Maamar Chazal of Ein Tzur Kelokeinu, we say there is no rock like unto our God, fortitude, etc. And the rabbis say Ein Tzayar Kelokeinu, that there is really no artist like unto God. And those of us who say Magad Lu Masecha Hashem recognize that. And so when I looked at the beautiful colors that were reflection of her soul, I thought that it was an imitatio Dei. Mrs. Hausman, with her husband, the late Gershon, Zichrono Levracha, established this meaningful kinus both here and in Yerushalayim. The kinus Shuvah took place at 8 o'clock Yerushalayim time, some 6 hours ago, and the guest lecturer was Rabbi Mati Elon, Rabbi Mordechai Elon, and I promised Mrs. Hausman that we would have a tape of the lecturer. He's a very popular lecturer. He speaks each week on the Parasha, on Kol Yisrael, and I know she was there last year in Yerushalayim and spoke to me just a moment ago about how well attended it was. And we are very proud of the fact that we here and at our GRU Center of Yeshiva University in Yerushalayim, on this day when people's minds are someplace else, that we have a tshuva lecture, a Torah lecture. This kinus was established in memory of Mr. and Mrs. Hausman's parents, Elias J. and Mary Stern, and Moshe and Chava Hausman, Zichronam Livracha. May their memories indeed be a blessing. I am pleased to greet all of the members of the Hausman family who are here as well. It is always a pleasure for us to have them with us. The Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, instituted this tshuva shir at yeshiva, and it has been emulated in many yeshivot, many batei knesset. In fact, I noticed in the newspapers that some of our Rashi yeshiva are speaking in synagogues, and perhaps they have drawn their students to them. And I really can't fault them, because we would like to spread the message of Torah wherever it can be spoken. Rabbanim traditionally give a Shabbat Shuvah drasha, a Shabbat Shuvah lecture, a drasha on Shabbat Shuvah. the Rav Zatzal told us about his grandfather, Rav Chaim, who disliked public speaking. But of course, he delivered the traditional two drashas each year, one on Shabbos Shuvah and one on Shabbos HaGadol. And the reason he didn't want to speak on Shabbos Shuvah was because he said, Yichtaf alein Musar, that I require Musar for myself. How am I going to speak to others? And so he used to precede his drasha by saying, sounds better in Yiddish, but I'll translate it into English. He always started by saying, Das Ret Chaim zu Chaim. This is Chaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, speaking to Chaim. He said, but if you all want to listen, it is all right. And I think of that whenever I have to say something which might disturb some people. I used to be a rabbi in the pulpit, and on Shabbat, when I would finish with my sermon, somebody would say, hopefully they would say, I enjoyed your sermon. Here I wanted to disturb them. I didn't want them to enjoy the challenge. And here they enjoyed the sermon. But I must say, I even enjoy Divrei Musa. I think that it is important for all of us to hear words that are spoken as they were here at Yeshiva today. We had a woman who spoke, and who spoke so meaningfully and so beautifully. They're really Devarim Hayotzi'im Min HaLev. Heartfelt words. Our guest was Mrs. Esther Waxman, whose son Nachshon, as you will recall, but a year ago, met a horrible death at the hands of the terrorists, and who displayed such courage and who displayed such dignity in the face of that tragedy. She was invited to come here to Yeshiva by the Educators Council of America, and we had high school seniors, more than 1,000 of them, from every Jewish high school in the area, who filled our auditorium to listen to her. And so I must say that I heard her words, and they went into my heart as well. I promised Rabbi Fulda that I would speak a little bit longer than I usually do in order to allow people to come, but I'm about at the end of my words. I could say Dvar Torah, except that that is what he is supposed to be saying to us this evening. And so I come to the introduction of our guest speaker, who is really a Ben HaYeshiva. I will remind him that this year marks the 50th year of his graduation from the Yeshiva University High School. And I can say it, since I was graduated from college almost 60 years ago. And so for me, he's a youngster. And he is a summa cum laude graduate of our college. He was valedictorian at the time of his graduation, and he still holds forth, as you will hear this evening. He was also the first editor, and this is for our yeshiva guys, he's the first editor of the Beis Yitzchak. It started in his years, and since I have a special affinity, particularly for the last issue of the Beis Yitzchak, I mention that this evening because I think it is part of our history. He has been associated with Yeshiva in a professional capacity for some 40 years now. In the main, as a Ram at the James Stryer School, but he served in many other capacities for us. He served at one time as the principal of our girls' high school. Enjoyed teaching much more than he did administration. And the children, the young men whom he taught over the years have sent their children to him because of the fact that he was a teacher of the Chesed Elyon, chosen as the senior professor many times over at the James Stryer School. He's been honored not merely here at Yeshiva, but on one occasion I recall when he was honored at the Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, because I spoke on that occasion, and it was an outpouring of love on the part of people who had the opportunity of being influenced by Rav Fulda and of hearing him. I particularly recall the lectures which he gave on the anniversary of Kristallnacht, which he experienced in Fulda. His name is representative of the city from which he came. He was born in Germany, but of course grew up here. It is indeed a privilege for me to present Rav Fulda, who is really a first for us. This is the first time that we have a Ram other than one of our Ritz Rabbanim, Rashi Yeshiva, to speak to us. And I know that you will enjoy, be disturbed by his words, even as I will. Rav Fulda.
Thank you, Dr. Miller. Distinguished Rabbonim, Chaverim, Norav Rabosai, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to say at the outset that I consider it a sacred obligation, a choyv kadosh, in appearing at a kinus tshuva in our yeshiva Seinu HaKdosha, whose whole being was formed by that giant among Torah personalities, Meir Rabbi Hagoyin, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, whose whole being still permeates this Torah institution, who was unique on the continent of all Torah personalities, a giant among giants, at whose feet I had the zchus to learn for almost 6 years, and had the special zchus to be meshamashim from the moment he arrived from Boston when I picked him up at the station to the moment I brought him back, for some 2.5 years. But most of the Torah that I will give you tonight will be his Torah. You should redound to the chus of his immortally great neshama as well. Some of the thoughts, his thoughts, which I will express, have been printed, some in his name, and some others have been printed in others' names, but they're his. And then, because I had the schus to be mishamashim, I have a few nuggets which have never yet been printed, and which will therefore, so to speak, see the light of day, perhaps the first time again,
No.
I remember the Rav once said, we have a halacha that shloshim yom lifnei hachag, shoyalin v'doshin v'hilchas hachag. Before every yomtov, there's a halacha that we should start learning the halachas of that particular yomtov. So how come before the aseres yimei tshuva that we don't have a similar halacha? That shloshim yom before the aseres yimei tshuva, shoyalin v'doshin the Hilchos Tshuva. And the Rav answered by referring to a Klei Yoker. The Klei Yoker asks a similar question. Why is it in the whole Torah Shebichtav not once is it mentioned that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Habin? Imagine a day as important as Rosh Hashanah not once mentioned in the Chumash that it's the Yom Habin. And similarly, when it comes to Shavuos, not once is it mentioned in the Torah Shebichtav that Shavuos is Man Matan Torah Seinu, that it's the day that the Torah was given. And the Klei Yoker answers to these two questions. When we have a historical Yom Tov, which was a date in history, then you can fix it on one day. That's what happened with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yes, we still remember it, we recall it, and we still thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's historical occurrence. And the same thing with Sukkot. When it comes to Zman Matan Torah, every day should be a Zman Matan Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu refused to fix it for one day. That's why it's never mentioned. And that's why also the Torah, the Chumash, does not specifically mention that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. Because the Elohi Yid, the true Jew, makes a din v'cheshbon every single day, not just one day in the year. And says the Rav, we can now apply the same answer to the question that he posed. You see, if tshuva would be only once a year in one season, yes, then there would be halacha of shoyalin v'doshin v'hilchas achag lifnei achag, sure. However, he says, tshuva is a mitzvah temidis, and you all know the chiddush of the Rav, that even though in the Hilchos Tshuva the Rambam speaks only of vidui, he says there's a real mitzvah of tshuva, except that the vidui is the pa'ula of the mitzvah. So what does it really mean? If I have a constant chiyuv to do tshuva, then when am I going to start davening? It's an ongoing thing. Another time, I recall, this season, I still remember where it was on the bus, picking him up from 125th Street and Park Avenue. In those days you could walk in Harlem. In those days you still came by train. And we took the bus up to Washington Heights. And he was saying to me at that time, you know, tshuva is a strange word, returning. Returning. Return to what? The point is, we use Baal Tshuva even for someone who was never from. So what's he returning to? Return means you came back to a point that you once had. So what's Tshuva? And the Rav answered in a deceptively simple way, but yet extremely profound. We daven every morning. Haneshama shenasata bi tahira. The neshama which you gave me is pure. Every Yid starts with a pure neshama. Every time I do a mitzvah, I deepen and intensify that purity. And every time I chas v'sholem perform an aveira, then somehow I impurify that pure essence of the neshama. What's tshuva? Tshuva is restoring the neshama to its pristine purity. And I remember then he went into a long pilpul, I'll make it very short, and he pointed out that there's a famous Shailin Unzayin, I think it is, in the Shailas and Shubas of Adam, what happens if a Sefer writes a Sefer Torah, and in one particular section he notices that he skipped a few lines. Is he permitted to discard that whole Yuriyah, because if he would correct it, it wouldn't look quite right, or not? And he's mepaltu whether you may or you may not, mevatel a mitzvah, not mevatel a mitzvah. And then the Mogen Avraham, for example, discusses the idea of, can you, for example, remove tzitzis from the talis if you want to get better tzitzis, if you're not going to use them again. So even if you say that you can, so maybe it's only tashmisha kedusha. On the other hand, for example, others want to argue, Racham Tzvi, for example, says, no, even if it's not tashmisha kedusha, even in a gufa kedusha, you can always do it to improve, and you can, even though you will not put it in another talis. Of course, you have the same thing by korban. Then the Rav says, you see, this is the whole point. The Shaloh HaKodesh Taisht. Still remember the chuckle on his face when he was saying, V'hist Kadishtem V'yisem Kadishtem. There's a double promise of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Number one, I've given you Kedusha. And number two, V'yisem Kadishtem, that Kedusha will never be traded in. That Kedusha is going to be permanent. And how can that be? Because I've given you the secret for erasing any kind of tumor to restore the taro. And that's the secret of tshuva. However, my friends, I could go on along these lines, but I'm not going to. Because this year is a special year. Not, as Dr. Miller said, because it's the 50th year of my graduation from high school, but something more important. There's something that's been concerning me, and I really would like to react rather publicly. It's the 50th year since the close of the Holocaust, of which I'm a survivor too. My father, Zatzal, was in Buchenwald. And you know, I recently read that the Bava Rebbe gave an interesting pshat. In the Avinu Malkeinu, he heard it from someone else. We end as follows. Asei leman harugim al shem kodshecho. Do it for the sake of those who were slaughtered for kiddush, for your sanctification. Asei leman tvuchim al shem yichudecho. Do it for those who were slaughtered for shem yichudecho. So we've already said, for all those who were killed and all those who were slaughtered, why does it then say, Asei leman boi v'eishu v'anayim al kiddush shemecho? Do it again for those who went through fire and water. And what I read is that he heard from someone, I don't know who, that the last one doesn't refer to those who were killed al kiddush Hashem. The last one refers to us, the survivors. Boy, those of us who have lived, who are still here, who went through this generation, we have a special task. What does the Holocaust mean to us? Moirai v'raboisai, a lot has been said. Too much and not enough. Recently I read, both in Yiddish and in English, a brilliant address by a revered Gadol B'Torah, who in evaluating the happenings of the last generation, that unthinkable, unfathomable Holocaust, set up twin poles. On the one hand, the Yid says, Dayan ha'emes the bracha. On the other hand, he makes the bracha ha'toiv ha'meitiv. And he says, we have to live between two poles and realize that Dayan HaEmes is one center, and HaToiv HaMeitiv, we're here again, and we're still rebuilding Teva, and we give Shebach V'Hoidoya. And we have to improve ourselves, he says, and not learn from the Goyim, and not get trapped in luxury, so that we can be zeicher to the brachas of the Eberstah. Meirei v'rabbeisai, it's all true, but it's not really true. I was in Europe, and I can tell you that the Gedoshim and the Tehorim, many of whom died, didn't learn from the Goyim. They led separate lives. They didn't lead lives of luxury. That's not the lesson. Let me tell you, my father, that's how, was not a poor man. He was quite well-to-do. He had no car. My mother had no fur coat. He spent all his money on building yeshivas and giving it to poor people. He imported a Gadol B'Torah from Poland who had 7 children, and he kept up the whole family of 9 souls just to have a private Rebbe in the home for us. That's not running after the goyim. That's not running after luxury. In my town, let me tell you, the Balabatim, after davening, all used to learn in the Chevra Shas for an hour and a half before they went to work. And yet it was wiped out. It's Juden Rhein today. And this was an year of Aim by Yisrael where you had a Maram Shif, where you had Rebbe Leor Fulda, the founder of my family, the famous Mefarish on Yerushalmi. Gedoylim. There is a lesson that we have to learn. If we survive, we have to learn something. So recently I read an article, and I quote a key paragraph. 50 years later, a lesson for tshuva. In the recent history of Klal Yisrael, some of our people embraced alien ideologies, socialism, communism, placing their belief and trust in these systems. They were convinced that these systems would provide answers to problems faced by our brethren. Others believed that assimilation would guarantee our future by melting into the general population and abandoning our distinctive life and belief systems. They felt that their security and well-being would be ensured. Yet these approaches were nothing more than an embracement of strange gods. Merav Raboisai is a true, yes, but of course it's a half-truth. And a half-truth is sometimes worse than an untruth. I want to tell you something. And those of us who survived, who knew the Torah centers of Western Europe and Eastern Europe, the Torah communities had nothing to do with these alien gods. Nothing to do with assimilation. Nothing to do with communism and with atheism. Nothing. And they were wiped out. And it's not enough to say, Mikevan Shinzan Rishus, Eina Mavchin. That's a cop-out. If there is a tremendous cataclysm and a catastrophe, then obviously we're supposed to learn something. If you simply say, Eina Mavchin, then we've learned nothing. Merav Raboisai, we have a special tshuva to do. We are survivors, all of us, and the children of survivors, and the contemporaries of survivors. I would like to share with you where I think, perhaps, even in the thriving, pulsating, flourishing Torah centers, perhaps we did go wrong and we did err. After all, it says, we have to conduct an internal interrogation and investigation to find out what we may have done wrong in order to learn from it. There can be no tshuva, there can be no kabbalah lahaba unless there's a korah sachet. Merav Raboisai, I want to share with you another gemara which I heard from the Rav many decades ago in precisely this interpretation. It's a gemara in Shloisha She'ochlu. And there it says, in the 7th parak of Brachas, Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, it speaks about the halacha of Rab Chiya Ba'aba Omer Rabbi Yechanon. La'olam eino motzi es harabi. That a person cannot be motzi others with the benching, ad sheyochal kezayis dogon, until you've eaten at least the kezayis. And comes Tosfos and says that actually you can be motzi others with the benching without eating a kezayis. The only reason we require a kezayis is that you should be able to say shiachal l'mishalot. And Tosfos makes a distinction between a kotel, a minor, listen to this, and a gadol. And here are the words of Tosfos: Avo gadol shu b'achiyuva min ha-teira, that a gadol who is mechuyev in benching mid yoraisa, ki ochil kedei svia, if he eats enough, mechuyev b'dava karinon bei, he is called obligated with this mitzvah. Listen to this. Afilu loy ochal klal. Even if he didn't eat a single morsel of food. Kidam rinon kol habrachas. Af on fishing yotze mites, except of course for lechem and yayin. But all the brachas, even though you were yotze yourself, you can still be mote others. The hainu tama, and what is the reason? The kol Yisroel areivin zebozeh. That every Jew is responsible for every other Jew. And I remember the Rav thundering in his own unique oratorical style. No one else comes even close. Not only the knowledge, but the effect he had in communicating an idea. He says, do you know what this means? As long as there's one Jew out there who has not fulfilled his obligation, I have not fulfilled my obligation. Merav Rabbeisai, perhaps what we went wrong 60, 70 years ago, even in all the pulsating terror centers, Dafka, when socialism and communism and atheism and all these movements were growing, we did not engage in outreach. We were guilty. Chotasi, Ovisi, Poshati. We, all of us, were guilty. There was no NCSY. There was no Torah Leadership Seminar. There was no Yavne. There was no JSS. There was no Oyes Sameach. All these institutions that we care about every Jewish neshama didn't exist on a massive scale. It was like two worlds. The from world had its own Orthodox press, often denouncing the errors of the non-from world. But how many reached out lovingly and caringly and gently to bring them back? Yes, there were some, and there were significant ones, but not enough. Proportionately, it was like a giant has a midget. You know, tzaddikim majam techut hasayra. The same way, if I'm a tzaddik, my mitzvah has to be in a higher level than someone who's not a tzaddik. The same way, gedolei haTorah has to have vision how to reclaim the masses. You know what the Gerer Rebbe said at the first Knesset Gedolah, the Heiliges Fasenes? He said, "My Rebbe Rabbeisa, I don't want to hear that there's no time for cloud work. That's the real pshat in the Siras Nefesh. Not giving up your time and your energy and your body. That's the Siras Guf. That's the Siras Man. That's the Siras Mamon." He says, "The Siras Nefesh. Give up a little bit of your soul to bring back cloud Yisroel." Not enough heeded his call. That was the first error. It was when I realized this, and this is the first time I'm admitting this publicly, proud to admit it, that this was the major error perhaps of our generation, that I decided to dedicate the bulk of my chinuch dafka to reclaiming the shamas, to being mesakein that which my doya perhaps was not strong enough. Because maybe that's what we really have to concentrate on. Look how many from Yidden are there. And what an army of non-from Yidden are out there. May Rabbi Rabbeisai, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we're still not doing enough. Neither here nor in Eretz Yisrael. And there is a second thing for which we really have to do tshuva. And you know, when I say we have to do tshuva, what turns me off in some of these articles that are written, the air of smugness, of complacency. They have the easy answers. They did this wrong, and they assimilated, and they followed this. You know what it sounds to me like? A vidui for other people. I never heard in Chazal a vidui where I say what you did wrong. The vidui is what I did wrong. Kshayt asmach v'hodok kshayt v'acherim. When I always talk about what others did wrong, that means I'm cutting out, I'm getting off easy. I've nothing to do. There's a second major failing. How often did the Rav point this out? That the Rambam is unique, almost among all shittas. That in Perek Gimel of the Hilchos Tshuva, when the Rambam talks about the famous Gemara of Rosh Hashanah, Dafka Zayin Amad Beis, how people are judged, whether they're tzaddikim of a shoyim or beinoinim. So the Rambam writes, Kol echad v'yachad b'bnei ha'adam yesh lo zechuyos v'avoinos. Everybody has good deeds and bad deeds. Mi shezechuyos av yeseiros al avonos av tzadik. He who's got more zechuyos than avoinos is a tzadik, and vice versa is a rasha. And everybody takes it more like a quantitative thing, a numbers game. But then the Rambam comes with a punchline, and he says like this, the shikul ze eino lifi minyan hazkuyos v'havoinos. This weighing of mitzvahs and averis where every person is judged has got nothing to do with numbers. Ela lifi goydlam. Not according to their quantity, but according to their quality. And yesh tzechus shukeneged kama avoinos. One mitzvah at the right time can outweigh countless averis. And the Rav gave the example of the Roman executioner who probably spent his entire life in idolatry and in murder and in torture. And when Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyan was suffering, and he said, do you promise me Olam Haba if I will remove the moist wool and increase the fire so that you will sooner die? And he promised him. And then came what? The bus call that he was going to go to the Olam Haba. Even though that guy had committed suicide just before, because the Gemara says, Abu Kofas the Seicha Oya. So the Lord pointed out, you see, the man had done many averes before and another one, he couldn't bear it. But that one mitzvah of reacting like a mensch, like one that Shalom Eloi came to the suffering of another Yid, that's what Chazal are telling us, turned his entire life around. And then the Rambam adds, the ein shoyklin ela bedaitei shel keil deos. The only one who knows how to evaluate is the Eibeshter. We have no business judging. Don't we davna Rosh Hashanah hadon yechidi leboi elam? Do we mean it or don't we? That only HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges? Moray v'rabbosai, in this society of ours, we still have not learned. We have not learned. People are sitting in judgment all the time. They're sitting in judgment on individuals. They're sitting in judgment on yeshivas. They're sitting in judgment on movements. They paint with broad brushes. And they think they're doing something good. They've forgotten this Rambam. And perhaps, in the pre-war generation, this judgmentalism prevented us from the proper outreach. Because you see, if I don't judge you as not from, but not from this, then I'm going to try to attract you. But if I look upon you as mechutz l'machane, then I'm just not going to care. And Merav Rabbeisai, there was another shortcoming for which we have to do tshuva. I'm not talking about others. I'm talking about us, me, my generation. A very famous rabbi wrote an article not long ago. And the headline was, to love is not to hate. How well do I remember that article? Merav Rabbeisai, that's not true. To love means to love. Not to hate is not to be equated with love. I want to bring you a raya. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin daf mem aleph amud aleph, and we can all learn from it. Omar Rab Yehuda Omar Rab, Oso la'odom, sheyekadesh isha ad sheyareva. A person is not allowed to be mekadesh a woman until he sees her first. Why? Because otherwise he might find something in her that he doesn't like. She will be distasteful in his eyes. The Rachmona Omar, and the Torah says it's not acceptable because v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha. So you see, even in marriage, the pasuk v'yahavta l'reyacha is definitely included. Merav Rabbeisai, upon a superficial reading of this Gemara, how would you and I interpret it? The reason I cannot marry a woman unless I first see her is because if I don't, Then if I find something I don't like, I will dislike her. Or I will, chas v'sholem, even hate her. That's not how the Rambam interprets it. Let me give you his golden words in the Perush HaMishnayos, and I quote, Ki me'ikreinu, because the fundamental principle with us is, Lo yiso odom isho at yireno, a person should not marry a woman unless he sees her. Why? Lefi she'onu choshishin, because we're afraid. Ulai leitishar ve'enov, maybe she won't look quite right in his eyes, and what would you expect now? And he'll hate her? He'll dislike her? No! Look what he writes! V'yam oivimo, he'll stay with her. He says nothing about hating. But v'lo yehaveno, he's just more lover. And he says, that's not acceptable v'zeh oster, because it says v'yahavta l'reyach l'kamocha. What are we learning here? What a profound Rambam! Avas Yisrael means I have to love in a positive way. And if you feel that I love you and that I care for you, the chances are you will respond. Not enough not to hate. That's a poor beginning. That's a poor excuse for love. I will tell you one story I've told on other occasions. I don't take credit for it. I must tell you, the Rebishter somehow, some way gave me the chokhmah. I was going on a bus in Eretz Yisrael, the famous number one bus, going to the Kotel. And what happened is, the mayor shore it. And what happened there is, very simple, that women and men don't sit together. And I was sitting on one seat, there was a seat next to me, empty. Opposite me was a chassid yid, older than I was, a beard bigger than mine. Opposite there was another Hasidic Yid, also older, talking in Yiddish, and two women get on. Each one had an empty seat. It was obvious the women were not too religious. They weren't dressed exactly what I would call tzniut. And they looked and they realized they couldn't sit. There were no two seats. And so I felt it was wrong somehow. There were empty seats, and yet they had to stand. And I said in Yiddish to the two people across from me, maybe we can make room for the women. Came back the answer, you daiget wegen sein? You worried about them? As if they were creatures from Mars. And I answered very softly, no. I'm worried about us. It took only 30 seconds before the man moved to the other side, made room for the women. The women sat down. They didn't even know what happened. They were oblivious, so it was clear they didn't understand Yiddish. When I left the bus, the man who was probably 20 years older than I was embraced me and with tears in his eyes said to me, choked up, Yashkayach Rebbe, I have to call you Rebbe because you gave me back Ahavas Yisrael. I forgot that Ahavas Yisrael means I have to love a Jew even if he's not like me. How much we can do if we just try. There's a fourth thing that we have to clap our hate. And we really do. It was Rav Shimshon of the Four Hirsch Zatzal. By the way, that article in comments in the Hamavasser happens to be riddled with inaccuracies, including the picture. He's the one who never had a doctorate, by the way. Where they picked out of the picture, I don't know, but this is not the time to respond to that. That great Tzaddik V'goyim B'Yisrael, he was the only one who noticed one thing, by the way. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us why he chose Avraham Avinu to be the founder of the Jewish people, I knew about him, Kiyadativ Lemana Sheyatzave Es Beisav Es Bonav Achrav, I knew about him, that he would command his family and his children after him, what? V'shomru Derech Hashem, that they will observe the way of Hashem, La'asos Tzedakah U'Mishpat, to be fair and honest and just. And he points out, no other Mefarish noticed it. It doesn't say, V'shomru derech Hashem, V'osu mishpat, or stoko mishpat. No. V'shomru derech Hashem, la'asos, infinitive. What does that mean? And he points out that derech Hashem has to be straight. It has to be honest. his grandson, Rav Broya Zatzal, who was the Rav, the founding Rav of this Kehillah here, how often did he say, and he meant it, it's not enough to be glatt kosher, you have to be glatt yosher. You have to be straight. You have to be honest. The same way you watch what you take into your mouth, watch what comes out of your mouth. There are people who say Musar and other people who say Musar. I had the schus to be listening to Gedolei Yisrael. I was in Torah Vadas, and I listened to Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky Zatzal, and to Rabbi Shlaim Zaheimen Zatzal before that, and Rabbi Shraga Feivel Mendlovitz Zatzal before that. At a good convention, that the schus to listen to Rabbi Elie Meir Bloch Zatzal themselves and others, besides those in our yeshiva. I never heard the shrill tones that I hear nowadays. Not from that genuine Torah world. Even when they said Teichocho, you somehow felt that they were in pain. And that's why nothing that was ever said was resented. Because you knew it came from Ahava. But it's more than that. We have to clap. Because in the Torah belt, and I will not spell it out, too many people don't realize that Krumkeit without being Yeshadig is Krumkeit. I don't care how much you learn and how much glatt kosher you do, but if you cheat the government and if you cheat each other, and if the name of the game is to do anything as long as you keep up your institutions, that's not Krumkeit. That's Krumkeit. You know, the first question that we get asked when we get to the Kisei HaKovod is Nosasa v'nosata b'emuna. It isn't even Kavata l'Teira. It's l'Teira. It's did you deal honestly in everything that you did? I don't want to keep you too long. Let me conclude with some nice additional thoughts that are heard from the Rav Zatzal, who, by the way, in everything he did, let me tell you, even though those who are midgets and pygmies out of their short-sightedness did not recognize his greatness, was absolutely straight and was absolutely straightforward. He once said that the reason that we really want to do tshuva and want to get back to doing mitzvahs, and you know, he had that streak of the Balei Kabbalah in him, and he says, why don't we relate the word mitzvah to tzavso? And tzavso means friendship. He says, and you know what friendship is? And he said, everything always is such sweetness. Friendship is somehow that there is something in common between the two friends. It has to be that way. And he quoted the Sephardo when it says, Al ken yazov ish es aviv ima v'dovak v'ishto. Sephardo says, what is dovak, cleave to your wife? And divuk amiti ele b'doimim bilvad. There can only be real cleaving if they're similar. He says, the Ribbono shel Olam cares about us. If he didn't, he wouldn't have given us mitzvahs. When we observe the mitzvahs, we show we care about him. That's why we're doing it. So what is the commonality? That we care about each other. And that is the tzavso. That's the point of contact. But let us never forget, it's not enough to know that the Eibishter cares for me and that I care for him, unless I remember that I really have to care for every other yid as well, in theory and in practice. And the Rav said another thing, which is really, really very beautiful. He said, perhaps we can relate tshuva to another mitzvah. The heishiv es hagzela, to return something which was robbed. What was robbed? And he referred to the Zohar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be in this world. He really does. He wants to be in this world.
Every time you and I somehow lose sight of what we're supposed to do, you know what we're doing, says the Zohar? Ki'ilu gozil shchinto mekutcho brichu. It's like we are robbing his shchino of a resting place. So what is tshuva, says the Rav? It gives us a chance to return to him, his shchino. This is what he wants to have here. Merav Rabbeisai, I want to conclude with two more personal anecdotes. Even as I'm grateful to the Hausman family for eternalizing the memories of the Hausmans and the Sterns, I owe a debt also to my parents, Zecher Tzadikim Levrocha. If I've been able to have any measure of success in Habotzas HaTorah and Yerushalayim, it is due to my incredible parents. I want you to know that my father Zatzal, and we did not find this out until after he was no longer living, he bought a Sefer Torah, and he told my mother that it's the most precious thing that we will ever own. He never told her how much he paid for it. We found out only afterwards that when he found out in a different city that the Rebbetzin was selling that Sefer Torah because her husband had died of a heart attack and left a bunch of children without life insurance, he went back and he told that Rebbetzin, I cannot buy the Sefer Torah for the price you want because I would be robbing you. And he made up a story, which he never told us, that he somehow found it was written by Urea Sofer and it was worth three times as much as she asked for it. Either he would let her pay three times as much or he wouldn't buy it. That is Elohe Yiddishkeit. And he never ever spoke about it. And finally, I'll share one more memory with you. When my mother, Olei HaShalom, passed away a few years ago in her 99th year, for the last 312 days, I lived with her almost day and night, except when I was teaching here, saying Shiurim, in the hospital. And when she had to be on a respirator and she had lost her voice, because it was too hard for the breathing to be without it, I used to sing with her in the hospital right here in the Allen Pavilion, Zemiris, every Friday night. And the first Friday night, after she had no longer a voice, I felt there's no point singing Zmiras. And I had to read lips, and my mother said to me, why don't you sing Zmiras? And I said, some kind of excuse, like I'm tired, maybe later. And she said to me in a stern face, you're not the son I raised. I didn't lose my seichel, I lost my voice. I know why you're not singing. You're not singing because you think that because I have no voice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't hear me. How wrong you are, my son. Where's your emunah? He can probably hear me better without a voice than you with a voice. Sing! And for months after that, we sang. I sang, and she moved her lips. That's emunah, and that's Yiddishkeit, and that's what we have to learn at this time.
I'm certain that you will agree with me that our silence is applause, and that all of us feel very deeply the words that were spoken by Rav Fulda. You've indeed not merely honored the memory of your parents, but the memory of all of our parents, even as the Hausmans have honored the memory of their parents. And I hope indeed that we will take the words that Rav Fulda has spoken to us this evening to heart. It was a time when all one had to say would be Shuva Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokecha, and people knew where to go. We've reached a time where Nach Besod Rachenu V'Nach Korah, and then v'nashuva al Hashem. And Rav Fulda has helped us. Yashir kuchacha. Those who haven't davened Maariv yet, there will be a minyan over in that corner. For everyone else, I wish you leil menucha, and again, a gemar chasima tova.